10% of the book of Revelation with me.
Find it, well.
I want you to think about your tombstone. Pleasant thought,
you know.
One day, if the Lord tarries, we'll all have one. And I'm not particularly thinking about the epitaph, although I've worked mine out. It was, they told me that hard work would never kill me, but they lie. Maybe it'll be something more spiritual than that, but anyway. No, it's the actual, on every tombstone, there's a born date and a death date. This is born 1949, little dash, and then died such and such a day, whatever it is. Well, it's the little dash between the cradle and the grave, which everyone goes through. It's called the mad dash. And it's getting madder all the time as this world accelerates, especially in the Western world with the life that they lead, you know. And we're born into it as an unbeliever. And we born, we live, we die if we don't come to the Lord. The unbelievers stumble about not knowing anything about the Lord, about eternal life, about life after death, where they come from. And their ultimate destiny remains a mystery to them. If they don't know the Lord, they make their own way through life, and their difficulties under their own strength, with its many uncertainties in life these days. And they try to be masters of their destiny. They try to insulate themselves in many ways. And they pass through here with various degrees of success or failure. And they come and go, you know. In the Old Testament, the heathens and the backsliding Israel trusted in Gad and many. And if you look that up in Isaiah 65:11, it's the gods of luck and fate. And that really sums up mankind without the Lord. They trust in luck and they put things down to fate, whether it's good or bad, you know. So, natural man, is very concerned about his future though. And, he makes provision, superannuation, investments, shares, insurances. Everyone wishes they had a crystal ball to know what was their future is going to be. So they go to, they consult the horoscopes, they go to astrologers, they fortune tellers, extremely trying to contact the dead, trying to determine outcomes beforehand, to maintain control of their lives. I saw a film recently about someone who could see the next 2 minutes of his life. I don't know if anyone's seen that film, but quite extraordinary film. You know, but 2 minutes ahead. If you could see 2 minutes ahead, would that be an advantage to you? Not in a lifetime, really. And really, people would be able, would love to be able to read tomorrow's newspaper today. You know, check the obituary column, see if you're in it. You know. That sort of thing. And then when it comes to life after death, there's cryogenics. You can be frozen now, and hopefully the modern technology will catch up with you and you'll be unfrozen at some sort of a future date. But when they do consider life after death, what they think is based on myth, it's based on emotion, it's based on wishful thinking. There's nothing solid, there's nothing concrete, you know. But God has revealed his plan to us. And he's the one who knows the end from the beginning. And who else better to put your trust in confidently each day of our life? We heard about the God's faithfulness in testimony today, about how he's met every need and directed people's paths. And everyone's rejoicing and saying what a joy it was, you know, to walk in the Revelation chapter 1. And the first scripture is verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So, he's invited us into his kingdom. We've been called, we've been chosen. We've been justified, and one day he'll glorify us if we stay faithful. But even now, we see through a glass darkly. And that word darkly is enigma in the Greek, where we get the word, it's a riddle. our future life. And but it's enough for us to see through a glass darkly, because we don't even know exactly how things are going to pan out. We know the signs of the times. We know the future promises. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but it's enough that it's there in the scriptures, the hope that we've been given by the Holy Spirit. And it's because of the knowledge of the Lord being always present in our life by the Holy Spirit being within us that we can go through life with this absolute steadfast hope, and it'll carry us through all the obstacles because we know the love of the Lord for us. We know the story of Jesus Christ. God knew us well before we came to know him. We didn't choose him. He chose us, as I've said. And I just thought we'd look at a few scriptures which declare the foreknowledge of God has about our lives. There's probably nothing new in it, but it, like anything else, it's good to be reminded of what God knows, because it's very important. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, just to start the thoughts, if you would. It's a big book, Jeremiah. He had a very interesting life. He had the protection of the Lord right through his life. The Lord promised him he would. And even though the princes and the kings and the people were all against him, the Lord delivered him, protected him, and he ended up in Ireland. But that's another story. Jeremiah 1 and verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, that's an amazing thought. Known before he was conceived in the womb. It would apply to, because he was called and he was given a purpose, and we've been called and given a purpose. So we can project that onto ourselves, that we were known before we were conceived in the womb by the Lord. His destiny was preordained, in a sense. Jeremiah and the other prophets knew the future because God revealed it to them, and through them, it's been revealed to many generations following, right? So their revelation has become beneficial to us. And we know that God's word is a sure word of prophecy. So about knowing the future, if we want to know about the future, well, we look at the prophetic side of the word, you know. Let's go to Isaiah 46, and verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. So, right from conception to the 9 months, and then from there on, he was the Lord has his hand on the nation of Israel. He's obviously had his hand on all of us here today. And part of my testimony, when my mother was in her last days, we had some time together, and she shared something with me, which I'll share with you. But it's when I was born, there was 4 years between me and my brother and sister, and I was an accident. I was an unwanted. The marriage was under stress, financially under stress, and another baby was just going to take it one step too far. And my mother, in tears, said, I took something to stop pregnancy. Well, but I'm here. Hallelujah. You know? But the Lord knew. Because years later, roll on, I ring her up and say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I get the local pastor to come round and preach the gospel to you? And they came to the Lord, you know. So the Lord's plan is perfect, you know. But I am born from the belly. No matter what one does, if you are one of the Lord's, nothing's going to come against you. And it's find that very, very reassuring. It doesn't mean we should go and tempt the Lord, but even as a young child, I was very sickly, and there was a couple of times I thought they were going to lose me, but I'm here because the Lord kept me to hear the gospel, you know. In verse 4, it says, and even to your old age I am he, and even to the hoar hairs, that's the silver tops, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you, you know. Well, we've been delivered from sin and we're delivered from the world, but it's deliverance in every trial that we come through. And the God's promises are ours. Before I came to the Lord, I had two major car accidents, both write-offs. I should have been killed. I walked away from both of them. Afterwards, being in the Lord, I've had four major cycling accidents. I've had a car come sideswipe me from the side. I've been right over the handlebars when I hit another car. I've come off a bike because I hit some mud and belly flopped on concrete and broke a few ribs and things. And I actually ran into a tram, and the tram won. But the Lord, it was his fault. It wasn't mine. But anyway, I will deliver you, says the Lord, you know. So I've seen the hand of the Lord deliver us. I'm sure if I could go around the room and people would give similar stories, you know. Let's go to Psalm 48. But, I will carry you, I have made, I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you through whatever we're going through at the moment. The Lord is going to carry you through. Just persevere. Trust in the Lord, you know. Psalm 48. Just one verse, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Stop and consider. Always leading us. Always guiding us. Never to forsake us. No matter where we are, you know, if I go into the depths of the sea or whatever, we sing the chorus, you know, we're never far from the Lord. And he's going to be there to death, but he's an eternal God. This God is our God forever and ever. So it's the eternity as well in this. Not only death, but for eternity he's going to guide us. That blows your mind. You know, it's going to be an amazing time that we're going to have. Psalm 71, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, Psalm 71, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Yes. Well, obviously, before he knew us, he gave his commandment to save us. And what the world throws against us is futile. What the opposition throws against us, because we're the Lord's, you know. We're in his hand, and no one can take us out of the palm of his hand, you know. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord thy God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Even from a young person, you can go forward in life knowing that the Lord has his hand on your life. As long as you follow the Lord, as long as you live by his precepts, as long as you obey your parents and listen to what they're teaching you and are nurtured in the admonition of the Lord, what a great place to be brought up in, you know. Thou art my trust. Even our children learn to trust in the Lord, right from them when they're young. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continual of thee. I am as a wonder to many, a miracle. We astonish people. But thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honour all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. So fortunately, we don't have a used-by date. We may have a best-before date in the flesh. You know, we sort of get a few aches and pains and we can't be as energetic as we used to be. But the Lord's not going to forsake us. Our salvation doesn't depend on our physical fitness or the strength of our youth or our capacity to do things. Our faith is, our salvation is based on the faithfulness of the Lord, and he's going to finish the work that he started in us, for his promise. In Psalm 92, it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And looking around the room, I can see that's a true scripture. Okay. I can look in the mirror and see that's a true scripture as well. The mirror of God's words. Psalm 23, we all know it. It's the Psalm of David, the Lord's my shepherd. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He had a hard time. he was on the run. He had problems around. He had problems with his family. He was hunted. But he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. His provision, God's goodness, his provision, his forgiving nature, despite us missing the mark, God's got us, this overriding goodness towards us as we turn back to him. He meets, he always provides our needs. We've heard his testimony today. When we were in Tasmania, before we went to Tasmania, life was on the edge, you know. The Lord provides your needs, but we were waiting for payday each week, type of thing. And we didn't have a lot of spare cash. And then just out of the blue, Chandra's parents donated us with some money. Said, well, we got too much. We'll give some to you and to Chandra's sister. Oh, thank you very much. We put it in the bank. Must be a reason we're giving it. And then about a month later, my father died in England, passed away in the Lord. But we had to fly to England. I was on holiday in Mount Gambier to come back, jump on the plane, go to England for the funeral and arrange for my mum to fly back to Australia. So the provision was there before the event. That's what I'm saying. When we went to Tasmania, I was promised a job. When I went there, when I got there, there was no job. So I think in the first year, I had about $7,000 or something ridiculously low. But I was on my knees in the office praying for work, and the phone rang, and it was somebody saying, oh, can you go to Darwin for 5 weeks? And I thought, well, I was praying about it. It seems strange. I've just come to Tasmania, but I did. And it ended up with the Darwin saints getting a busload together and traveling down to Tasmania and touring Tasmania and helping us out for a while. So, you know, the Lord's blessing is good, isn't it? You know, he answers prayer in most amazing ways at times. I lost my job. We were taken over by another company, and everybody in the company was made redundant on the Friday, and we got paid out. And on the Monday morning, I got a phone call from the new company saying, can you come back and work for us? So I had all this money, which I did in pay, and then on the Monday, I was back in the same office doing the same job. It was just, you know, well, hallelujah for the Lord, you know. Always provides our needs, doesn't he, you know. Psalm 139. Let's go to Psalm 139. So we've had a trying 2 years with this COVID business. And it's been challenging for us, for the assemblies and for us, and we've come through very well. So I think it's just timely just to take stock and realize that God knows. He's going to carry us all through. We keep our eyes on the Lord. It might get worse. It usually does in the world. But we don't have to fear about it. It says men's hearts failing them for fear of things coming upon the earth. But that's the world. It's not us. Because God is with us. He's going to look after every one of us. Our every individual need. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understand my thought afar off. You compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. such knowledge is too wonderful. It is high. I cannot attain to it. I'm going to read the rest from the Amplified. Where could I go from your spirit, or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of dead, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. So in the times of weakness, in grieving, in opposition, the Lord still holds us by his right hand. His right hand is Jesus Christ. We're held by Jesus because he's the one that died for us, the right hand of God. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the night shall be the only light about me, even the darkness hides nothing from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God even sees the saint who walks back in out of the light and into the darkness. And he's out there in the darkness for many years. Brother Rob Peckett was out there for 34 years. Never gave much thought about the Lord, disastrous life, divorce, whatever. And then one day, he just got on his knees in his house after 34 years and said, Lord, help me. And instantly, he was blessed abundantly. The Spirit poured out from him, and he's come back into fellowship. You know, he was in darkness, but the Lord was there. The Lord saw his heart, you know. He never leaves us or forsakes us. The Lord always remains just a prayer away. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you for your fearful and wonderful and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and this is the key part. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. So, underline that verse. The Lord knows, he's the Alpha and Omega. He knows the outcome. What a place to be. So our destiny is in God's hands. You know, I can think of several relationships before I came to the Lord, but I married the perfect woman for me. Didn't I, Sam? Yes, I did. Because she came to the Lord. The other ones didn't. But the Lord had Sandra chosen for me, you know. Me chosen for Sandra. Bad luck, Sandra. But anyway, our destiny is in God's hands. We see in hindsight the Lord's blessing. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts unto me in verse 17. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awoke, could I count to the end, I would still be with you. So there's more thoughts than there is eternity, time and eternity for the Lord towards us. Well, I'm going to finish in a minute, but we started off speaking about the mystery of life to the unbeliever. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I think I've got time for another scripture as well, but anyway, we'll see Ephesians chapter 3. I think the point's been made that we go forth into the future with a great confidence and a sure knowledge that no matter what tomorrow brings, it's going to be God's going to be with us. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It's a great mystery. You know, the mystery of the ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That mystery has been revealed to us through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And with it, the great potential in our life and in the future as God works with us. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That the church would be raised up into heaven, basically. According to the, this is, verse 11 is the key one. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've been made partakers of the eternal purpose of Jesus Christ. To others, it's just a swear word. To others, he's just a Jewish boy or something. To the Jews, they've rejected him. To us, he's part of our eternal purpose. Through eternities, we're going to be praising the Lord. Go to Proverbs 8. Last scripture. Proverbs 8. I've got a note here. Proverbs 8 if we've got time. So I think we've got time. Proverbs 8. Just pick a few things out. In verse 17. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth, of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandments. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was with by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Stats are talking about wisdom, but to us, Jesus Christ is all wisdom. It's really about Jesus Christ, this. About right from the beginning, this eternal purpose was established, and we're part of it. Now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. What a great gift to us from the Lord, you know. Where would it be, any of us, if it, God hadn't had a plan of salvation through Jesus Christ? From the beginning of creation, all things were known. The end from the beginning was known. We were known unto God before we were formed in the womb. All the souls are his, the scriptures say. And we are part of God's eternal purpose in Jesus Christ. And we sing the chorus, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to grey. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered by his blood. From cradle to grave, and then some, and all the people said. Leave it there, hand it back to Pastor Chas.